Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. You just made the list. It's a little therapy time. As we sit here around lunchtime, towards the end of the week, who or what has made you mad? 615-737-1025, 737-1025. We've got a gift card on the line. I've got Marquise is looking that up for me. I think we've got a $25 gift card on the line. But you have to get in there and participate. 615-737-1025. Friday trivia coming up in the final hour of the program. Who would like to get it started?
Who's on first?
I guess nobody.
I'll go first.
Nobody.
I'm ready.
$25 gift card, scoreboard, bar, and grill. That's what we've got at stake today. So jump in there. Tell us what's made you mad or who's made you mad.
I'm ready to go. I'll do it. Mine is, so I feel like we have to revisit this every now and then, but I've noticed that it's especially worse lately, and I can't decide if it's because so many people were cooped up for so long and you weren't out on the road as much, but driving around town, a lot of you have forgotten how. I'm just going to be brutally honest with you. I have had so many close calls lately because people aren't doing things as simple as using a turn signal or looking before they turn out of a parking lot or a street or something. Everybody's just like, we're going to wing it and hope it all works out for the best. That's what I've been running into lately. And so it's just I'm concerned at your driving techniques. I don't know what's going on. I know it's been a while, but you know, they always say driving's like riding a bike. I just feel like this shouldn't be that difficult. But prime example, the other day I went to the store and I was on the way home and one car pulls out in front of me. So good thing I just got my brakes done because they were working. So car pulls out in front of me, doesn't even look, doesn't even see me, almost hits another car. So there's that. Then there was another car that came out behind me and just decided that he wanted to be in my back seat the entire way and then getting angry with me because I wasn't going any faster because I couldn't because there were cars in front of me. So a lot of impatient drivers out there. So with that said, you just made the list.
You just made the list.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that one.
Have you guys run it? It just feels like it's been worse lately.
I don't know how they can be driving where it looks like they're impatient. Like, how could you be impatient right now? We've been sitting at home for months, you know, for the
traffic still isn't that bad. I mean,
you know, what's been everything has slowed down. Everybody's life, everything has slowed down. What could you possibly be impatient about at this point? Didn't this help you to maybe relax a little bit more? Didn't this help you going through quarantine, maybe slow down, take a different perspective? Maybe life doesn't have to be as hectic and crazy. I don't know. Just saying.
In the words of Aaron Rodgers, relax.
Relax. I'm just going to go with the old standby just because they deserve it. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. You know, Major League Baseball, you know, it just goes without saying right now. They're on the list. I mean, it's embarrassingly bad. How else can you put it? It's just the disconnect that they have to what's going on in this country. And for all the passionate baseball fans out there, and I get it, they've been pretty good. There's been labor peace for 25 years, 25 plus years, and things have been good on the baseball front. But man, it just, when you think about just coming off the heels, the game I played, what have been the two biggest news stories in the calendar year for Major League Baseball? And from year to year, June to June, the two biggest stories have been the Astros cheating or a cheating scandal, which could branch out Red Sox and other teams cheating at the highest level. And this, it's just horrible look, horrible, horrible look. And here they are with so many, over 40 million Americans filing for unemployment, people being furloughed, salary cuts, people losing their businesses, people losing their jobs. And here they are bickering over prorated salaries. And, you know, it's just silly. As we sit here on June, what is today, the 12th? June 12th?
Yep.
And here we sit, and this has been going on for 3 months. You would have thought in 3 months, and I realize you couldn't hash this out because, as we've talked about, things have changed since the, you know, back in late March when they talked. A lot of things changed. So your mindset should change. It's just the disconnect right now with both the players, the owners. It's like they live in a bubble and they have no clue about what's going on around them. This is not permanent. It's just for this season, and you needed to have figured this out. And right now, they've already done so much damage. Yeah, they'll probably play, I guess, but people will be happy about it. But there's also going to be a lot of people that are just going to shake their head and walk away. And so there's damage. Damage has already been done. I've already talked about it. There's already been damage done in this household. We're like, we always take a baseball trip. It's like, you know what? Maybe next year we just won't even take one. We're not going to take one this year. We know that.
Yeah.
But next year, maybe we go do something different. There's plenty of other fun things to do. And I think there's going to be a lot of people take that. So Major League Baseball, you know.
You just made the list.
Just bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Very bad. William?
Well, on the list to me are any hockey writers that do not consider all of the information in front of them before making the choice for the Norris Trophy. And I sit here saying this as a scarred person who saw Shea Weber get cheated out of not one but two Norris Trophies. The fact that he never got at least one of the two, if not both, is a crime to me. And what I've come to learn over the years in hockey is it's certainly not easy to quantify everything that goes on the ice, especially for a defenseman. And we've come a long way in the last few years on how you can judge who are the best defensive defensemen. What does it mean to be a great defensive defenseman? What is a great all-around defenseman? But I honestly, I'm worried because, like I said, I'm scarred that this vote is going to be closer than it should be. To me, this is a no-brainer that Roman Josi is the Norris Trophy winner this year. There's so many ways to look at it. He's a better defensive defenseman than John Carlson by any metric that you want to look at. That should mean a lot. And no, he doesn't have as many points as John Carlson. But there's so many other ways to see and look at what he does to drive offense. I'm scared. I'm scared that he's not going to win it, and I'm scared that it's going to happen again. But it's so short-sighted. I know there are going to be some voters that just vote because Carlson has the most points and his team did better. That's going to be the basis for how they vote. And John Carlson plays in the Eastern Conference. He's seen more. There's that thing, that narrative, which started to change a lot. And I think the people that look at the analytics, they looking at it objectively, they can see that Josi overtook Carlson. But I think the vote's going to be a lot closer than I want it to be. So think about it this way. When you're voting for the MVP, for example, on a basketball team, do you just pick the player that scored the most points? There's so much more to picking the best player than who is the leading scorer, right? Especially an NHL defenseman. So when you look at all of that, it is clear cut that Roman Josi should win the Norris. But until they open that envelope and they announce him, I am going to be nervous that it's not. So all I ask is for people to look at the information, right? There's a lot of information. Learn it. And don't just vote on the guy that had the most points. So anybody who votes for the best defenseman in the NHL and just goes by the guy that has the most points.
You just made the list.
Thank you.
What is it that Teron always says? And he's quoting Booger McFarland. stats are like bikinis. They show you everything, but or they don't show you everything, just a little bit. That's what it is. Look at the whole picture. Very right. Well done, Willie.
Let's go to Tony.
Thank you.
Tony, who is on your list?
Darren, talking about people not having a clue about things. This
uh-oh.
Is who's made my list. And it just occurred in about an hour ago. My wife.
Oh, boy.
My wife, we have a son-in-law. Her son, my son-in-law, but he is coming in from out of state and was going to stay with us overnight before he headed to his home state. And I think I can talk freely here because I don't think any of them are listening. But I won't give all the details.
This is good.
He's coming in, and we were going to drink some beer tonight, eat some pizza, shoot some poo at the house. Well, lo and behold, the wife and he gets this wild idea. They want to go play 18 holes of golf this afternoon. Well, they included me in it. Well, I'm not going to call the course where they're going to be playing. And then they decide to call a son-in-law who has not even put a golf club in his hand, and he wants to learn. So that son-in-law has got he has never touched golf clubs. The other son-in-law has only been playing 1 year, and my wife has not played in a year and a half. There is going to be a lot of spraying of balls going everywhere, and I'm the only so-called halfway decent golfer that they wanted me to come along and help teach them. I've opted out of this wonderful outing. I am just not going to be a part of this. I want to say I apologize to the people, the golfers that will be playing behind them, because it's going to be ugly and it's going to be a wait. I'm afraid their nine-hole outing might turn into about a five-hour deal.
Yeah, they'll be just done at dark.
I just wanted to say they have made the list.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony,
you have a great weekend. Chase, there's your foursome.
There we go.
There is your foursome right there, man.
All on the same skill level.
That is your foursome. You guys can start right after the show.
Guys.
All right, thanks. And you would end at dark. That
maybe.
Foursome would start right after the show and end at dark. He said nine holes.
Yeah, I continue to say maybe. You've seen me play. You know that I have skills that. Or lack of skills that no one ever possesses.
That was your group right there. I mean, when Tony was describing that, I'm like, that is Chase's group. Never played.
You get to watch me play golf next week.
Haven't played in a year and a half. And what was the other one? Maybe played a couple times. I was like, that's Chase's foursome. That's a dream foursome for you. By the way, I also thought of Caddyshack. Whee!
Yup.
That's what it's going to be like all day.
Not today.
Today. Wee! Wee! I'm hot today. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Darren. Who is on your list, or what is on your list?
All right, fellas. I got to set this up. I'm going to put myself on the list. I'm from Northwest Ohio. My parents are pastors of a church. And I'm thinking about Thanksgiving dinner, and I want to take this girl home for Thanksgiving. But it doesn't really gel with my parents being pastors, because what is it that makes this girl so hot? And I'm talking about the half-trailer-living, potty-mouth blonde from Ozark. I want to take her home for Thanksgiving.
Ruth?
That's just going to be a disaster. The blonde from Ozark.
Yeah, Ruth. Trailer,
yeah,
potty
that's
mouth.
Ruth.
Ruth, yeah.
And my parents are not going to be happy with me, let me tell you right now.
Wow, you are taking a big, big risk taking Ruth home to the family. There's no doubt about that.
What is it about her? What is it about her that makes her so hot?
I loved Ruth's character. I've said it. I've admitted it too. I was just rolling my eyes. I didn't like her character, but by the end, man, she was my favorite on Ozark. No doubt. I don't know. I can't answer that for you, Darren, on your question. You tell us what's the thing about Ruth?
Well,
why do you want to take her home?
I don't know. She's going to drop F-bombs at the Thanksgiving table. My parents are going to be so mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to get you good on the – that's going to get you on the naughty list for Christmas.
Have a good one, fellas.
All right, you too. 615-737-1025. Man, we haven't had a Ruth sighting or anything said about
that's
Ozark in a while on the show.
She's not bad looking, so.
That is a dilemma.
She was also in Waco.
Yep. She's been in a lot of different things.
Have we seen Ruth lately?
Like in...
Like, yeah, has there been anything she's done lately?
Yes, actually. Or hang on, I'm pulling it up. I think Ozark might be the latest thing she's done. According to IMDb, which is a great website.
When's season 4 coming out?
That is a good question.
A buddy of mine who listens to the show regularly.
Enough.
I know. He listens to the show regularly, actually texted me last night and said, the wife and I just finished season 3 of Ozark, and he just said, wow.
Yeah. She's done a lot of so she did Ozark, and then she's filming a show called Inventing Anna.
Inventing Anna, okay.
Yeah, filming that right now.
So far on You Just Made the List on this beautiful Friday, we've had Tony, who just totally told his family, I'm out on golf, the first-timers. And Darren, who's called in and said he wants to take Ruth from Ozark home for Thanksgiving to his parents, who are pastors, correct? His dad
yes.
is a pastor, is that what he
says?
Yes. His, dad.
His parents are pastors.
Let's see what Doug's got up his sleeve. Who or what is on your list, Doug?
Fellas, you know, we're all glad that sports are kind of creeping back in. You know, I'm a big youth sports fan. My kids play. So we finally got to play in Lake Point, Georgia last week. And we had to stay in Woodstock, Georgia. And let's just say the hotel chain, I'm not going to say their name, they got the big S as the logo. That's where we had to stay.
Okay.
And, you know, things are limited and you have to, you know, there's no pool and, you know, we all booked early, you know, under the impression of usually a breakfast buffet knocks out, you know, our eating. Nobody has to leave, but I'm an early riser, so I go down, and the buffet consists of a paper sack with a water, a granola, and a muffin stapled together. And
was this from your team or from the hotel?
This is from the hotel. This is
okay.
what they had to offer as the buffet.
All right.
And I said, Mr. Manager, I said, I need to text everyone because you just added an extra hour to our morning. And I said, also within the vicinity of Restaurant Row, there's nothing open. And I said, I know you charged us, you know, the regular price, but there's no way you can charge us the regular price when there is no buffet. There's a room temperature water, a muffin, and a granola. So chain with the S on it, you just made the list.
And what did he say?
He said, you know, I never thought about that. We need to decrease the price that we charge you guys because, you know, again, we're staying five-star. Oh, by the way, that's the name of our travel team. And we're staying in a five-star hotel, and we're getting a paper sack breakfast buffet. And I said, there's nothing to eat in the vicinity. There is no food. You have no pool. How about we get something knocked off on the rate here? And he did. He thought about it. And I didn't really start huffing, but glad to see sports back. And we're all casually understanding the new way, but to charge that kind of a price when there's no buffet and there's no pool, all you're providing is a place to stay. And, oh, by the way, room service was only as you asked to keep the workers out of your room. You know, it's the new norm now, I guess. But
what age group, Doug? What age group?
15. You know, we came all the way from 9U as a Little League champ, 12U as a Dixie Youth State champ, third in the World Series, and now get to that level where I say that this is not playing, we're planning. And
very
if,
nice.
If this pans out, we've had a good time. But, fellas,
all right.
Georgia, let's just say they've been doing things. So guys are throwing 84. We've seen 75. They were probably doing some things that nobody knew about. But fun. But to charge a full rate on your hotel rate and you're not providing anything, big-ass hotel, you got to do better than that.
All right, Doug, thank you, as always. 615-737-1025. Willie, you saw 87 miles per hour down in Georgia not too long ago.
Yeah, that was in the 14s.
On the highway or?
No, probably saw more than that.
Probably at some point.
From here to Atlanta, probably saw more than 87.
More like 97.
Yeah, probably. Let's go to Mike. Mike, who or what is on your list?
Well, Kirk Gibson is on my list, but after I circle the bases, he's going to come back to Willie. 2 weeks ago, I know Willie knows his baseball, but I think he made the comment that Kirk's home run might be the most famous of all time. Well, after looking at, doing some research, looking at lists, the highest I saw it anywhere was number four. And usually the top two or three were Bill Mazeroski, Bobby Thompson, Joe Carter. So that was a little bit of a stretch, Willie, but, and Kirk was a jerk. You know, I got to be a bat boy when Dad was with the Rangers. I was a bat boy in the visiting dugout. Disney clubhouse, and he definitely was a jerk.
Really?
No,
he was a bit of
doubt.
A hothead, if I remember correctly.
A little bit of a hothead, yeah, kind of.
I tell you what was on the most of the list. I saw also remember the Kirby Puckett's walk-off in game six, was it 91 against the Braves?
Chase, you remember that one?
Yes.
I'm sure George remembers that one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really remember it because I was.
It's been deleted.
I was five, but yes, I'm familiar.
Next week, maybe we'll have a breakdown of the top 10 home runs in Vanderbilt history. Would Willie be on that list?
What do you think?
Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Will I will make not that be list? On the list.
Unfortunately, is it only Vanderbilt home runs? Because, you know, there was a really, really tough one that we were at that was one of the toughest home runs I've had to watch ever. At the Hawk, that's for sure. The game against Michigan. That was brutal.
Alan like, Oakes.
That I was going to say, where are they? Thank you. Where are they now? Where is he now? Wouldn't you love to know that?
Good question. Yeah.
Where are they now?
I would say he's probably not
biggest,
playing baseball.
I was going to say, that's right, probably right the now. Biggest moment he had in his career, right?
I would agree. I would agree.
615-737-1025.
That at bat, he was the right guy, right time.
Sure was. Unfortunately, let's go to Alan. Alan, who or what is on your list?
All right, fellas. Want to start off by saying, Willie Donut, you and Chris Mason are doing a fantastic job as Predators broadcasters. I love it. Can't wait for Hawk to be back. How about y'all?
I'm ready.
Well, thank you. Ready? Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
we're ready for some
today?
Actual hockey and not the virtual hockey.
Absolutely, which, you know what, it whets the thirst, but, hey, it doesn't do the same. Now, what makes my list today?
Nothing like the real thing, but we have had fun doing it.
I'm sure you have. So the list today is people jacking up prices on everyday items that you can typically find that now are impossible to track down. It is driving me insane. I understand making money. I'm all for it, but, shoot, 60 to 70% hike up. Especially a Nintendo Switch is about the most frustrating thing. I tell you what, I didn't want one until I couldn't find one, and now it is frustrating to see people selling for $500, $600 online for you to meet up in a parking lot at night. I tell you what, that drives me insane, man. $300, I got no problem. $500, $600, you are out of your dang mind. You don't need it, but somebody does.
Dang wow. Up. So we got that for our son for Christmas. So you can't get those right now. That's the hot ticket.
So I've been looking for them for a couple weeks. Honestly, started off as just a birthday gift, and then it turned into a dang mission because, well, why not? I mean, I went looking for them. I've checked stores all over the county. They do not have them. People are finding them and selling them, but up pricing them and whatnot. But that's the thing right now, man. They are hard to track down. I may have one found today, but I don't know. That's just something to me. It's people buying them just to resell them and make a quick buck. I totally get it, man. I get making a quick buck, but shoot, son. That's for kids now.
It's sad. Remember we had that story in Chattanooga with, what was it, the water?
Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, luckily it's you know, shifted now to things like video game consoles as opposed to toilet paper and water. So less concerning, but still obnoxious. That's all I got for you guys.
No
Again,
doubt.
Mason, you're doing a great job. Love you guys' the show. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Alan.
Sad when people do that, but, you know, it's always going to happen if there's something in demand. I mean, that's just just the way the world works.
Maddox better watch out, though. You know, if he acts up, you might put the switch on the old eBay or something.
Well, he doesn't. I mean, he doesn't get that. He doesn't understand that. He just thinks that, you know, that's just the way it's supposed to work for him. He just gets that stuff, and, you know, yeah, he wouldn't have a clue that's a big deal.
He'll learn.
He will.
He'll learn one day.
He will.
I'm not putting Willie on the list, but I did laugh, and I tweeted about it last night because I watched I watched the end of the virtual game, and then I was watching some of the, you know, the Stanley Cup final game against Pittsburgh, and Willie and Chris do this intro, and they were talking about game four and how people were hitting them up for tickets and everybody was there. And Willie says, and Butch Davis, you know, he was still with the Vols at the time. He was at that game. And I said, Willie, wrong Butch. But I laughed at that.
Wrong Butch. You know, I reeled off all these names that I can remember. I just had this thought because we were trying to paint the picture of the atmosphere. So it wasn't just the mass of people, but if you guys remember, you might have seen it if you watched the broadcast last night. Charles Barkley was there. Wayne Gretzky was there. Mario Lemieux was there. I interviewed Paul Coffey at the game right after I interviewed Barkley. Caleb Joseph has told his story. He had a one-off day between games, and he saw an opportunity to get back home and watch the game. He flew in, flew back out for the Orioles, you know, in between the Orioles schedule. People were just knocking down the door. Nick Saban was there at some point. I think it was that night, and I remember it was Butch Jones walking by me while I was doing interviews down in the locker room. I think he took his kid in there to congratulate the guys after the game. It was unreal how many. But I got my Butches mixed up during the delivery of it when we were setting the table. But I said, you know, what the heck? Maybe Butch Davis was there.
You never know.
There were so many celebrities there. What? Maybe he was there, too.
Is he a celebrity?
Yeah.
I don't know if he would have had the pull to get in there.
Not on that Butch particular Davis. Day or night.
Yeah. People might have been
he was not A-list.
Who are you?
I don't know what letter he was, but
Dirk
he wasn't
Bentley
A.
Dirk Bentley did the anthem. Keith Urban, Nicole Kidman. I mean, the singers were huge in number, right? Forget about the sports people. What a spectacle.
I just looked him up, and I forgot that he's in the position that he's in right now. Do you know where he is?
Nope.
He is the head coach at FIU. So he's in the same
conference.
Yeah,
he's been there for a little while.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Been there since 2017.
You haven't been following FIU?
We've had him on the show.
No. Did you have him on the show when he was at North Carolina?
No, we had him on the show since he's been at FIU, I think.
There you go.
All right, we will let's get
your Butch
one more
Davis update.
Let's get Never thought Butch Davis would get that much airtime today. Vic, who or what is on your list?
Hey, the person on my list is two people. I want to thank the person that put a muzzle on Mike Leach. I like him as a coach, but he's got to learn how to keep his mouth shut. And evidently, somebody in the administration said, keep it shut through the whole season. And I love the owner of the L.A. Clippers because he, Doc Rivers, and LeBron James had a sit-down talk, and he is going to try to get all the CEOs that own sports franchises to own up to their wrongdoings if they've done so. That's the CEO from the L.A. Clippers. I saw him say that on CBS Morning News this morning, and I almost dropped my glass. I said, okay, my man. I love you too. So that's my two things right there, buddy.
All right.
Man, I love y'all's show.
Thank you, Vic. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. All right, we'll come back. More on the other side. Don't forget Friday trivia to start the fourth and final hour just around the corner at 1 o'clock. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Wow, a little old school there, Marquise. Back
Von
here
Scott
on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday afternoon. John Robinson, the general manager of the Titans, spoke with the media yesterday, and imagine this. He was asked about Jadeveon Clowney. Honk if you've heard that before. And I'm sure he was completely blindsided by the question. But John Robinson did speak on the matter. He has not been shy about talking about clowning. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
No conversations of recent. I think we're going to continue to monitor it and see where, you know, I've seen what you guys have seen that's been posted on social media. I know he wants to play. You know, I think we would be a pretty good fit for him. And there was some mutual interest there when we started the discussions. But I would say that really hasn't grown any legs since we spoke last.
There you go, John Robinson on Jadeveon Clowney. I was looking at the current odds, and this came out from Sportsline just a few minutes ago. And I'll start from the bottom and then work my way up and then see where you guys think the Titans fall into this. The Saints are the worst on this list of teams at plus 1,800, followed by the Ravens at plus 1,500, the Eagles plus 1,300. So those three teams, pretty long shots, according to Sportsline. Saints, Ravens, Eagles. Then the Jets at plus 1,100, still a long shot. Giants plus 1,000. So those are five teams that you can get great, great odds are. But basically, the NFL odds makers are telling you, good luck with that. He's not going to those teams. Then you get the Lions at plus 850. Still not great odds, but obviously a lot better odds than those five teams. Then, down to the final four. Final four teams, and let's see if you guys can nail all four in no particular order.
Titans.
Yep, who else?
Browns.
Yep, who else?
Colts.
Yep, who else?
Seahawks.
Yep, there you go. So, well done. Colts are fourth at plus 600, which did surprise me a little bit that they have slipped down to fourth. Browns third at plus 500. Seahawks second at plus 300. The Titans still the favorite at plus 250. So the Titans still at the favorite, the odds on favorite to get Clowney. And so I'll ask you guys this. What are we waiting for at this point? What is going on, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, I think he told us what he was going to do a month or so ago, and we didn't believe him. And he basically said he was going to wait. He did that piece with Houston Television, I think it was a month ago. I've lost track. But he did that story with Houston TV that he was working out and showing teams, you know, what he could do. But it seemed at that point that he wasn't in a hurry. He still wants to get the best amount of money for him, as he should. So I think he's just sitting around waiting for a chance for him to get in front of a team and not have to do anything virtually, and then he'll make his decision. Now, with all that said, I hear John Robinson's comments. I think that you can file that under the category of he knew he was going to be asked the question. He's going to answer the question. He's not really going to tell you much. But I would say that there probably hasn't been much movement and much discussion because nothing's really changed on Jadeveon Clowney's end. So I still feel like this is a good fit for him. You heard John Robinson say that. I feel like this probably is where he wants to be, but he wants to wait and get in front of a team and then be able to get the largest amount of money that he can.
But John Robinson addressed that. He said that he was aware of the same thing that we're all aware of. In other words, what we've read on social media or read that's been put out there. And when you look at what's been tossed around, there's been some pretty decent offers for him. And so,
yeah, but we don't know what the Titans threw out there.
But doesn't it seem pretty clear that the Titans aren't going to go higher than that?
Yeah.
So they would have already done it and he had already signed.
It does.
So, yeah.
But we still don't know the number. I mean, we've heard that what Seattle's 15 and Cleveland was 18.
Yeah.
I mean, do we think the Titans were somewhere? I mean, okay, so to your point, if they had thrown out 12, I mean, do we think that John Robinson, would he have an answer? Wouldn't he have been told no?
Like, he at this point really can't think that he's going to get more than $18 million, right?
Right. But, and if it's all about the money.
He can think anything he wants. That's the thing.
And if it's all about the money, that's the one he'll take. But, you know, I do think he's looking at fit. And his advisors might be saying, okay, if Tennessee is really where you want to be and they're offering you 13, take that for a year and then we'll do this. And then next summer it might be easier for you to get that long-term deal you're looking for because things might be closer to normal.
Let's play radio GM for a minute. What's John Robinson's game plan right now? How's he playing this?
He's going to let
my thing, I see it this way. He is going to stand pat with whatever his offer has been, and he must feel pretty confident that it'll come around, that Clowney wants to be with Tennessee, and he doesn't need to come off of his offer, that Clowney will reel back into him at some point. And if he doesn't, then he's got to be willing to walk away and say, well, we made our offer. We weren't willing to go higher. We will live with the consequences.
Yeah, and the thing is, most of the time, he's one of those that you think he has a plan B. I have no idea what his plan B is. I couldn't tell you what plan B is. Is there
a plan B?
Right. And if there isn't, then what is that going to look like? Because he traded away somebody that was very important to that defense. And, you know, something we've all said, you don't want to build your team around stopping just one team. You have to start, you know, have to stop the division. But the fact of the matter is, if they want to get to where they want to go to, which is a Super Bowl, they got to get past the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And we all saw what that pass rush looked like against Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. Oh, by the way, they're also probably going to have to get through Baltimore again. And guess who had a very, very good game against Baltimore and was a big part of that? Jarrell Casey. So they have to figure out what plan B is, if there is a plan B, if they don't land Clowney.
I'm just trying to figure out, I wonder what these conversations are like, because it's very clear there is dialogue, but I wonder what the back and forth is. I wonder if he's going, come on, I've told you, how many more times do I have to say this? This is all we can do. It's not because we don't want your client. It's this is what we can do. We want you. We want him here. This is the best fit for him. This is what we can pay. We can't pay that. We would have already done this. We've been down this road back and forth. I don't know what more you want me to say. Like, I wonder if those type of conversations are going on or if he's just kind of sitting and listening.
Do we think that Jadeveon Clowney in his mind or his agent's mind still thinks if I get in front of teams, like if I am allowed to go to a facility and work out, that he could still get over $18 million like he originally wanted?
I guess what I'm getting at is who's doing most of the talking right now? Is it Robinson or is it Clowney's representation?
Well, according to Robinson, there hasn't been any talking since the last time. So yeah. I would say it's not him.
There's got to be something. Him. Come on, there's got to be something. It can't be just dormant. We're in the middle of June. There's got to be something going on, even if it's a text. I mean, something's going on. I mean, come on, it's not crickets. You don't believe that, do you?
I don't believe it completely. I think there could be some sort of correspondence, a text of like, I don't know if it's a, hey, how you doing? Just wanted to check in. It's J-Rob. Miss you guys. Let me know what's up.
Got a big pile of cash sitting here. Your girl's name on it.
Yeah. I mean, nah, I think he'd play it cooler than that. You know, come on, D. I think he'll play it a little cooler than that. But I don't know. I also think that there's something to be said about the fact that we're in a pandemic and the player can't get in front of the team. I really do think that that's factored into it. If that wasn't the case, I believe he'd already be signed somewhere. Whether it's here or back in Seattle or Cleveland or wherever, I think if things were normal, he would have been signed. That's just what I think.
John Robinson also spoke on Derrick Henry's contract, which, oh, by the way, we're coming up on close to a month. They'll need to get a new deal in place. Or else. He's already signed the tender. Here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, you know, we've had a phone call last week, had a phone call the week before that. You know, just kind of continuing to work through things. I think the conversations have been positive with between me and the reps there, and again, just trying to find some common ground. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, that Derek's an important part of what we do, and just trying to find the spot where we all need to be, where we all want to be. Yeah, I think that Derek's approach to how he prepares, he's been that way since he was at Bama and probably high school. Like, he's a tireless worker. He's been engaged in the meetings, and he wants to get something done. We want to get something done, and we're working towards that. And it's, again, like I stated earlier, it's about coming to that common ground spot, as it is in every negotiation. So, you know, we're anxious to keep the conversations going and keep talking through things.
These two things that we're discussing are tied together, and this is the juggling act that John Robinson has to do. Because
right,
one
you want to get
one
done
right, one could lead to the other. So if you truly think Jadeveon Clowney is going to drag out and this is going to go on all the way until training camp, what does that mean for July 15th?
It could mean that Derrick Henry's playing a year on the franchise tag, which I think is a dangerous game to play, because what have I been saying consistently for the past few weeks? That he's going to have a better year. So if he has a better year, what does that do? That ups the price. So that's the dangerous game that John Ryan, and you get even more because you have another year under his belt. You get even more into the conversation of overpaying a running back and giving a running back that type of money. So I feel like you can't sit around and wait on Jadeveon Clowney and have that affect the Derrick Henry deal. At some point, as much as I would love to see Jadeveon Clowney in a Titans uniform, at some point you're going to have to walk away and you're going to have to go to Derrick Henry and go, okay, here we go. Let's get this done and we'll figure out what plan B is on defense. But you're our guy. You're the face of our franchise, and we need you here.
As much as I applaud Derrick Henry for doing what he did, I think it took us back a little bit that it was so quick to sign that. Because he could have easily not signed that, but he did. I'm not sure. Like I said, you want to applaud him for that, but on the same token, it doesn't help in negotiations on his side.
Because the Titans don't have to now,
right? John Robinson doesn't have to. I mean, he's got him, and if he knows, you know, there's not a. You know, well, I'm not signing this. I'm going to hold. If he's going to go down the road that others have, you know, Dalvin Cook, Melvin Gordon, and, of course, Le'Veon Bell, if they were going down that road, that's different. Because if he hadn't signed that, here's the thing. By him signing that, it's kind of kept this story somewhat quiet, right, for the most part. If he hadn't signed it and said, I'm not signing that, and we're talking about sitting here today with nothing on Derrick Henry front, how much would that be discussed here in this market of, okay, tick-tock, we're just slightly over a month away. I got to figure this out.
It'd be a bigger story.
It'd be a huge, no, it'd be a huge story.
Be the story.
It would be the story. Do what?
Oh, it'd be way bigger. I'm disagreeing with you guys. No question about it.
It would be, I mean, this is what everybody, that's what the, every time John Robinson did these Zoom calls, that would be, you know, half of the Zoom calls would be talking about Derrick Henry. That would be the main focus. And now it's just, you know, it's like he's going to get asked. He knows that. But it's like, oh, okay. It's just the urgency. Going back to what I said, on one hand, you applaud him for that, right? That's cool that he did that. A lot of players, as we see around the league, they would not have done that in his position. He wants to get paid. He was the leading rusher in the NFL. We always say to anybody, coaches, players, strike when the iron's hot. Well, the iron is blazing hot for him. And so if you strike when it's hot, this is the time to strike, when you lead the NFL in rushing. That's all you can do. Okay, if you're a running back, there you go. There's your walk-off. There's your mic drop. Led the league in rushing yards. Hello? Look at my numbers. So, and I don't have, you know, I don't have, if you think about it, I don't have the real wear and tear that a lot of other guys do. He really doesn't.
No. Because last year he was just over 300 attempts. Obviously, his first 2 years in the league, you had DeMarco Murray here. He really only had 1 year at Alabama that, I mean, they you know, ran the wheels off of him. That was his last year. I think it was 395. But before that, I mean, less than 200 in his second year. So, yeah, I mean, he's got – there's a lot of tread left on the tires. So the whole being weary of paying a running back thing, yes, it applies, but you also have to look at the amount of carries that Derrick Henry has gotten at both Alabama and now with the Titans, that it's actually in your favor and helps you out, because I think there's a lot left there. So that's why and John Robinson just said it. I mean, we want him here. We're talking about it. You know, we hope to get something done. So I don't think he just says that because hypothetically, the way the system is set up, he's already signed the tender for this year. You don't have to worry about it. He could tag him next year.
Could.
If he wanted to. Now, at that point, I don't think Derrick Henry signs it.
So he may not sign it next year.
But then you just go, okay. I mean, you can still get through the next 2 years and not have to pay him a lot of money. You just pay him the tag. So, I mean, I don't think it gets to that. I really do think they get something done, but it is I do applaud Derrick Henry and how he's handled it, just like you were saying. I think he's handled it very well.
Well, let's play Sportsline right now. Let's make our odds today, sitting here on June 12th. Odds that Derrick Henry has a new contract by July 15th. What are those odds?
10%.
10%?
Really?
10%. There's
wow.
No way.
That is low. Low, low, low. So you've got the odds.
He's already signed. It's not – so like you guys said, it's just not a huge priority. I hope it would get done right before the season started. But I don't think by July 15th.
Well, I mean, that's the deadline, so
– right, there is no thing right before the season. The deadline's July 15th, so it's got to happen before then.
I'm going to say 70%. I'm more optimistic.
Well, you two are completely opposite ends.
Yeah.
Willie's basically saying no chance, and you're saying, yeah, really good chance.
I think it gets done. But I've been saying that. Why would I change now? There's nothing that's really told me to change my mind, you know, either way. I'm sticking with what I've been saying. I think it gets done.
And I'm kind of in the middle. I'm in middle ground. Like, don't really know. I don't know how this is going to play out. I'm like 40%. I don't know. Okay. So there's that. So we were all over the place on that one. All right. Let's play Sportsline on Clowney. What are the odds that he signs with the Titans today? June 12th. What are the odds?
By a certain date?
He's not going to sign today.
No. I'm just saying.
I'm just kidding. The way you said it.
Okay.
What are the odds he signs today?
The updated odds.
See, not very good.
How about this? The updated odds. Not. I won't say June 12th. The updated odds of Clowney signing with the Titans are.
I will say 40%.
40%.
Okay. I'll say 60%. 60 to 65%.
Okay, so let me start with you, Chase. 40% from what? If I would have asked you the same question a week ago,
I've come down. I was at about 60.
Oh, so you've gone from 60 to 40% in a week.
Yeah, I still think that this is the best fit for him, but he's one that the money is very important, and I know J-Rob, and I know John is going to do what's best for this club, and he's not going to overpay. So if Jadeveon Clowney and his camp are still hell-bent on a certain number, I don't think John Robinson's going to give in on it.
Okay, so Chase is trending down. Willie, you're at 60% updated odds from what last week?
Oh, it's same. I think I've,
so you're
I've
just
felt
saying,
pretty good
you're
about it
same,
all along.
Okay. So nothing's changed in your mind.
I don't think it's changed in the last week. He's, I think they're both pretty dug in. You know, Clowney's going to try to wait it out, but John Robinson's going to wait it out.
I think I'm just going to go right down the middle. I've been very vanilla on both of these topics. I think I'm just going to hang right at 50%. I think it's 50-50.
And you've been pretty consistent on that, though.
Yeah, I really have. I haven't really had – I know everything we've laid out I believe to be true. I think the Titans want him here. I think he wants to be here. But obviously we know there are obstacles in the way, and I'm just not sure if those obstacles can get moved or moved around or not. And so it just leaves me at 50%.
Nate from Nashville texted in and said, I don't think there's a deal this year, maybe 5%.
5%?
Yes.
So that's basically he's playing on a one-year tender, right? What's that number again?
What do you mean?
What would be his number if that were the case? What's Henry playing for?
Oh, hang on. I think is it 10 million?
I thought it was like 10.8 or something.
Yeah.
Is that right?
10.278.
Okay.
Yep. That's the tag number.
5%. So he's in Willie's camp. He does not think that's going to happen. All right, good stuff. All right, good way to end hour number three. We will come back, have a little fun, kick back, wrap up the week with our final hour, which was Trivia Hour. We do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.